UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Balvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So what instrument do you think people who are not musically inclined, in other words, they don't play an instrument right now, when they listen to popular music like this, what instrument do you think they most easily could play and say, if I just had the time, I could do it? Would it be the guitar, the keyboards, the horns or the drums? See, my guess is everybody thinks they can play the drums because they beat the crap out of their desks, the music.
Oh, right.
And then I watched what those guys actually do, and I listened to John Fogerty, who once went through a phase where he was feuding with his bandmates with Creedence, and he tried to play every instrument on the album, which they do when they lose their minds in terms of ego. And he did, but he said he would never go through doing the drums again. The hardest thing he's ever learned to do.
I mean, I couldn't imagine singing and trying to play the drums. I mean,
yeah, but you know, they lay the tracks down. So he was singing over things he recorded. But he said learning to play the fills and the rhythms for a drum was impossible. I mean, he played the bass. He played the lead guitar. I don't know. He played something else. I don't know what the hell else you play in a rock band. But could not play
the maracas.
Couldn't handle the drums. Says people can play cowbell. All right, I'll buy that. But I'm talking about a real like instrument. I think that'd be a great Twitter poll. I think people think it's drums, and I think if they tried, they'd find out not so much.
I got a prescription.
More cowbell. Do you play anything? You played something, didn't you? I thought you took instruments when you were a kid.
No. I wish I did. I was actually really into choir and musicals and that
type
of stuff.
Oh, you were a singing fellow.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, you need to join in when we start singing. We would play, this is the one problem. We're happy to have Patty Ice here, but the big head of producer, by not being here, makes it awkward because I would definitely play the Empire Electron song again to try and charge our guys up for tonight, but it's not fair. I'm playing Patty's team tonight, and I take the high road all the time, so we won't do that. We need 20 points from Lamar and Mark Ringer. But however, if we win, you can be damn sure we'll be playing the Electron song tomorrow. With another sale in the team store, by the way, this could be a 2-for-1 sale because we'll be on a winning streak. So there you go. So we'll see. Uh-oh, Patty's going to the phones. Patty's doing a Nick. He's answering phones. This sounds like, by the way, I have to tell you how this came about. I was going to, since Patty does a racing show, I was going to ask him about Jimmy Johnson. So I'll tell you how this came about. So I went to the internet and I just typed in Jimmy Johnson, because Jimmy Johnson announced next year is going to be his last year. And I just thought, hey, you know, there's NASCAR fans here, so I'll ask Patty for a quick comment on Jimmy Johnson. However, I have to tell you this, give you an idea of where football ranks. The first 50 topics that come up are about Jimmy Johnson, the former Cowboys coach.
Right.
Now, Andy must have talked about this on his show, because this is, if ever there were an Andy Sweeney topic, it's this. And it was in the New York Post, and he is more fascinated with New York sports.
There's no one around here that knows more about New York media.
He does.
I mean, he follows it religiously.
I'm flattered and humbled at the same time. But Did he talk about this? So if he did, forgive me. Evidently, there's a book that has either just come out or will be coming out about Jimmy Johnson, who's currently 76, who went to, this is a recent article, though. It's 2 weeks, barely 2 weeks old, I think. It said that when he went to high school with the late rocker Janis Joplin. You didn't hear about this topic? Okay, good.
No.
This is right in Andy's wheelhouse. Evidently, he nicknamed the iconic singer Beats Weeds in a crude reference to her pubic hair. This is right in Sweeney's wheelhouse. It's the upcoming book, Janis, Her Life and Music. Hippie Joplin was an outsider at Thomas Jefferson High School. I mean, this is so out of like a made-for-TV movie with the jock and the rock singer. Johnson was the star linebacker on the Yellow Jackets, the school's football team. He and his jock crew allegedly groped Joplin, this is not funny, and spread rumors that she'd slept with their friends because, and I quote, she looked and acted weird. By her senior year, the Piece of My Heart singer was, quote, the image of everything the students disliked, her friend Terry Owens told the author. In his own memoir, this is what's kind of sad and creepy and intriguing at the same time. He wrote a book himself, Johnson did, and he basically semi-acknowledged it, not the sexual assault part, that would hopefully didn't happen, but in his own memoir published in 1994, the legendary coach said he singled, I mean, this is so stereotypical, said he singled out Joplin because, I quote, she ran with the beatnik crowd. Perfectly 74-year-old man statement to make about a rock singer. She ran with
then.
The beatnik crowd. Janis looked and acted so weird that when we were around her, mostly in the hallways at school, we would give her a hard time, he wrote. Now, this is the real meat of the story. She also reportedly, according to Johnson, despised sports, a big no-no in the Texas town. Johnson's reaction to the insults was to laugh them off, and the meatheads were never punished for their bullying. Johnson, of course, went on to be a defensive lineman at the University of Arkansas and then won Super Bowls as a coach. But here is the part of the story that I can't believe Sweeney didn't get his head wrapped around. He didn't seem, however, Johnson, to let go of Joplin, who continued on her anti-establishment path, performing at Woodstock and becoming one of rock's most known stars of the 1960s. In a 92 Sports Illustrated interview, why would a guy go on record as saying this? He claimed Joplin, quote, never wore any panties. Adding, quote, from what I understand. Oh, my. She was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1995. The book, I guess, is out. It came out at the very end of October. It's a book by the author is Holly George Warren, if you're wondering. Why would you volunteer that about a woman who's dead and went on to be? You just can't get out of high school, can you? He just can't let that go. Yeah, I don't know. I've been told. I didn't see firsthand, but I don't think the girl's wearing any britches. Well, that's all I'm saying. I just.
I mean, I've always been one to appreciate the value of underwear, but. I mean, I don't know about Janis.
What would compel you to volunteer that to Sports Illustrated exactly?
Hey, Janis, can you comment on...
No, she's currently dead, so she can't, basically.
Johnson... Janis, if you were alive, can you comment on John Johnson's claim that you apparently don't wear underwear?
I just
don't feel like there's enough comfort down there with no pants.
Bizarre... Texas says, so Johnson was a scumbag, is what you're saying. He doesn't come across very flattering.
I don't know.
That's bizarre.
Maybe he just really didn't like her. You know,
No, he did. That's right out of a Disney movie. You picture him. He's the star jock, and she's Ally Sheedy.
Yikes.
Running there, and he's not interested. And he's going to just berate her, and then he's the guy that comes across as the villain, though, because these movies are usually structured so you sympathize with the bullied person rather than the bullier,
right,
which is a good reason. But what a dopey thing to say.
I mean, this poor lady, though, she's resting, R.I.P., in her grave, and Jimmy Johnson's out here. Talking about her britches.
From 60 years ago. Texas says the drums are hard as hell. You have to be able to use all your limbs simultaneously. Yeah, I would think that's true. So I think that's But then another text that says drums are actually easily learned. but as hard to play well as any other instrument. Piano also easily learned because no fine motor skills required. That's probably why I'm what you would consider a very, 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 say varies until the end of the show and you'll hit it right, novice keyboardist. I play for my own pleasure. I'm not any good. I can't really read music. I read beginner music, you know, the one where the notes are written, the letters written in the note, but it lets me play songs, and that's all I care about. Is this person holding to talk to me, or who the hell is that?
Oh, yeah, sorry. That is, he called earlier. His name is John. He wanted to comment on New York Mike's picks from last week.
Yeah, well, that's not fair. I mean, I could tell everybody, we all had bad weeks. It was the first losing week the Sagarins have had in the NFL all year long. They picked three games. They've already lost two, and the last one is tonight. They've got Baltimore laying three. But, I mean, you know, it's a hook, but they lost on the hook. They had Pittsburgh laying 6.5. Pitt won by 6. Had Detroit laying 3.5. Detroit, wait a minute. Did they? Maybe I've got that wrong. Did Detroit win or lose? I might have that game wrong. Let's go see. Detroit actually lost by 3, so it had that game completely wrong. And now it's got the Ravens tonight. So it made 3 picks. It was over. So that makes them – it still makes the Sagarins on the year 31-11. Me and Mike Pratt continually – he's done much better than I. I've not had a good year. These are ones I just pick, and that's why I always use Sagarins and things, because if I'm just picking, I'm just stabbing in the dark. So I was 2-3. He was 2-3. But New York Mike was 2-2. He won with his 2 college games, and he lost with his 2 NFL games. So did you lose money on the picks? Is that why you want to yell at him?
No. Hey, Bob. It's John. Great time Friday night. Thanks for some of the pizza.
Oh, cool.
The reason I call is, so I haven't been on a sporting event since like 2002-03. I realized you couldn't beat them way back then. But I'm driving back to Louisville to go to Worldwide's party Friday night, and Mike's on, and he made such a statement that I literally wrote it on my notepad here in the car, because if you remember, it was a lock, you know, bet your kids.
Yeah,
your house,
the Bears.
Everything on the Bears, -6. And they won by 5. And, I mean, that is the epitome of why I don't...
You're exactly right. And it was a backdoor cover, too. They were ahead. The Bears had covered. They were up by, what, 12? And they gave up a late touchdown, and so they lose by a point. Because the Sagarins backed him up. That was one I was in agreement with him on, and that's why it'll break their heart. How about the other games? The Sagarins, how'd you like to have lost the 2-team parlay on the hook in both games? So it's...
Well, I watch very little. I watch a lot of Lamar now in the NFL, but I did check out that game because I wrote it down. I put it in my office at home. I did not want to miss how right he was going to be, and then it was a backdoor cover. That's, my friend, why you spend your money on something else.
Save it. You'll be better. Put it in Bitcoin. You'll be better off, maybe. So
absolutely.
All right. Thanks, it was good seeing you Friday, buddy. Thanks. Good. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Oh, I didn't know it was him. I wouldn't have made him hold so long. Mike's picks are bad every week. Not true. That's just not true. He has won the Thursday night game 4 weeks in a row, and early he had won like, I don't know, 15. Seriously, it was ridiculous. He won like 15 in a row, but he has struggled in the last few weeks. Texter says drums are quite the cardiovascular workout. Hey, what's your business? Why are you in here? I forgot. Just because Nick's not here, the same principle holds. What's his business? He needs to state his business. What's he doing here?
I don't know. I think he's just hanging out. What are you doing?
You just got
to
state it.
Yeah, just listen to what you're talking
okay.
about.
Okay, just came in for a visit. Fine enough. Cooper's come in for a visit. That's nice. We had a nice visit Friday night saying goodbye to Worldwide, who still hasn't left town. We just cannot get rid of that guy.
Sadly. Sadly.
He's going to Denver, most of you know. Drew's producer is on his way to Denver to work for the organization that owns and runs the Denver Nuggets, right? The NBA team, the NHL team, the arena. The guy owns like everything.
Yeah, he owns everything.
Yeah, he owns the whole damn city of Denver.
Pretty good family to work for, though, too, to be honest. I mean, looks like he's going to have a hell of a good time. I mean, he was telling me about the perks he gets, and it's like they can take clients to any game galore to try to smooch them over, and I'm like, oh, my God.
You know, going to pro sports. Going to Louisville is great also, but going to pro sports with a... With a little expense money in your pocket?
Yeah.
Tasty.
Yikes.
Absolutely. Just for the record, not a good week. When we've been killing it, we own up to that, and not so much this week. The Sagarins in college, we only started keeping those more recently because I wasn't sure how accurate they are. This is the first year I'm doing it. They're okay. They were 3-5 this week. Not a good week, which makes them now 19-13 on the season. So, okay. The Sagarins, even by losing the two games so far in the NFL, are 31-11, which is still amazing. 31-11 is still pretty amazing numbers. Now, the Leans, you see, the Leans are basically rolling the dice here a bit because they have not done as well. We lost with the Lean for Pittsburgh on the hook there. Detroit was the – oh, we. I'm sorry, take it back. Let's see, I'm shortchanging the Sagarins. I was looking at the Leans, not the plays. The Sagarins' plays last week were Chicago, Denver, and Carolina. Lost with Chicago, lost by a mile with Denver, but won Carolina. So they're actually 1-2. So they are 32-11. So it's still pretty amazing. I mean, if you do that, you'll make some money. Now, the Leans this week have been awful. The Bears were lean. They lost. The Steelers were lean. They lost on the hook. Detroit was a lean, and they lost outright. So they're 0-2 going into Baltimore tonight. Baltimore's the lean tonight. So if Baltimore covers, then the leans will be 12-10. That's nothing to write home about. So, again, the key, it appears, if you're going to be serious about sports wagering, is take few games and back them heavy. If you're trying to win by playing 8, 9, and 10 games, you're going to have a hell of a time. You're going to go broke a lot sooner than you're going to make money. So the Sags, you'll notice that's, what, 43 games, and we're in, what, week, 11 or 12, right? So that means the Sags basically, I mean, if it's less than a three-point difference between the betting spread and the Sagarin numbers, it's a no play. So that means the average number, we're 43 games, it's said to pick, and we're in week 12 or so. That's less than 4 a week. And there have been some weeks there's only been 1 or 2. So that's, you got to have the discipline to do that. So anyway, I have some interesting betting numbers. I hope this is right. I don't have time to check these out. The over has hit in 9 straight Tampa Bay Bucs games. How about that? Now, that said, that I don't get into it, the Sagarins, because I don't know. I don't have a number, a metric that I have a lot of faith in for that. But the numbers for Tampa Bay, that's amazing. Let's take a look at that and see what's going on this week. This week it is Tampa Bay. The Tampa Bay Bucks play the Jaguars, and I don't know if we have an over another number yet. We don't. It's probably too early for that. Yeah, still don't have that yet. Oh, no, we do. Here it is. The over-under is 49. How do you feel about that? 49 for that. If you're going to play just, what do they call them, the angle players, the guys who are looking for an angle, that's not a bad one to play, because I had a friend who was a gambler, professional gambler. This was what the guy did. And he said, I've passed this on because I think it's good advice, if ever you're in doubt, more people lose money betting that streaks will end than any other way. Because they look at it and they say, well, it's got to come in the other way this time. It's like, that's human nature. Think about it. If you were tossing a coin and it had come in 6 straight times heads, your gut is going to tell you it's got to be a tail. You know, it just can't keep. But in fact, there's, as you know, if you understand basic statistics, there's no more chance that it's going to be a tail on that next toss than it is on the first toss. It's still each side of the coin. It's 50-50. But so that's what happens when people look at this. They look at it and it gets more people bet against whatever that number is just because they think, well, it's due. You know, it just, but you don't know when the streak's going to end, but you don't know when to try and guess where. If you're going to make a guess just based on the streak, you're better off betting that it's still going to continue, because you've got 9 straight games where that's happened. For whatever reason, there's a lot of points scored in Tampa Bay games. So I don't know. I may give that a look this week. That's very interesting. Let's see what this one says. Yeah, no, this is early in his career ascendancy. Josh Groban played in Louisville at Freedom Hall. As I recall, he moved up and played multiple instruments, including drums, in one set besides singing. Some people are just talented. I've said that a million times. I'm amazed. I go around and, you know, you'll just see a band playing, I don't know, or somebody sings the anthem or whatever, and you go, my God, these people are talented. And I used to, you know, when I was living in the Northeast, occasionally we'd go up to Boston, and in the summertime, Harvard Square, I think it is what it's called. It's part of the campus for Harvard. It's very, very cool. If you've never had a chance to go, you really should in the summertime. It's like a – well, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. It's been 20-some-odd years. Maybe they don't do it anymore. But back when I would go, there would be all these street performers. Oh, my God. These people are unbelievable. And I remember one time it was – I mean, it was all sorts of things. There was music. There was juggling. There was all sorts of quirky acts. And there was this one juggling couple, and they were so good. And I remember about a month later, I saw them on The Tonight Show. So, I mean, I don't think that happens much anymore. I imagine they don't have jugglers on The Tonight Show anymore, I don't think. But the point is there are, yes. And, you know, you'll be amazed if you see who's done that. I remember there's a video of the Carpenters, Karen Carpenter, running around the stage, playing a bunch of different instruments. Which is it Marie Osmond? One of the Osmonds. I think it's Marie. I think she does that, too. They used to bring, like, everything. Yeah, I think she – I mean, again, I don't think they go out and they're ready to play – to be confused with Yo-Yo Ma or something. I mean, they're not concert or orchestral players. But the fact that they can get in there and play well enough before a whole auditorium, yeah, it is amazing. And how fast they learn it. Like, I mean, I'm just amazed at things. Like, there was a guy – how about this? This is pretty ridiculous to me. I mean, one of my hobbies, I told you, I listen to old-time sporting events. Way easier to find baseball games than – if you go to YouTube, there's a guy who's got a whole old-time archive baseball channel. There must be 300 old broadcasts. I'm talking old. I'm not talking about – yes, there are some like from, you know, the early aughts that from 2012 or something. But he's got some going back to the 1950s. I mean, this is really old radio, and I find that fascinating for a lot of reasons. The terms are different. I like listening to classic announcers, to Vin Scully and Red Barber and Mel Allen and other guys. If you're a baseball fan, you know who they are. The other day coming in, I listened to a game. This made my day. The New York Mets from 1967, when they still sucked. I mean, they hadn't gotten good yet. They got good in 69, but from 62 when they were created till 69, they finished in last place every year but one, and so this was still one of their bad teams. But they started to have some guys who ultimately were going to be good players. Anyway, I digress. The point is this. They were down 4-3 in the ninth inning, and there was two outs and nobody on base, and the batter had two strikes, and he had a home run on the next pitch. And then they proceeded to get the next three guys on base and walked a winning run, and they won 5-4 in the bottom of the ninth. It was like listening to the game live. I have no idea who won this game. It's just some random game from the middle of the year. It's as compelling as if it were happening live. But the point I was making is there was a guy on that team many of you may never have heard of. His name was Bud Harrelson. He played shortstop for the Mets on their World Series team in 1969. But this was a guy who was a right-handed batter his whole career. Whole career. This game was played in 1967. I think it was the spring of 66. So it was little more than a year earlier. They decided to say, hey, maybe you could learn to switch it. And so he started to bat left-handed also. And I'm listening to this game, and this is a midsummer game. It's July. It's late in July. He's batting 430 left-handed. How do you do that? How do you go your whole life and never bat left-handed and then learn at the major league level and start batting 450? I that's what I'm saying. Some things have to be just God-given. The same thing with these people who can pick up, you know, 20 instruments. I mean, I know the Paul McCartney plays bass and lead guitar and keyboards, and my understanding is he still doesn't know how to read music. So that amazes me. So I just tip my hat to those people because I am not wired like that. In some ways, I wish I were. I'd love to say, how the hell do they do that? But so what I do is I inspire people like Mike Smith to write fight songs for the Empire Electrons. That's my contribution to the creative process. Oh, my. It's the V Show on ESPN 680-1057. A reminder of our good friends at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. It's called Wellness and Weight Loss for a reason, because it's not just about losing weight. There's a lot of programs out there that if you follow it, they work. You'll lose weight. But A, they're incredibly difficult. B, they're incredibly unpleasant. C, they don't teach you how to live the rest of your life. And D, they're not catered specifically for you. There's your difference. So if you're saying, what's the difference between this and other ones? I'm just telling you. They cater this to you. They do a scan of your body. It tells what nutrients and minerals you need. They give you the supplements for that. The supplements that I take are completely different from the ones Nick takes. Between the two of us, we've lost 60-some-odd pounds together. And it is a way to teach you to not only lose weight, but to be healthier. And last time I went to the cardiologist, which is now about a month ago, I was amazed. My blood pressure was probably the lowest it's been in about 15, maybe 20 years, and it's not by a small amount, and I attribute that to vitality. That's the bottom line. Sure, you want to look good, and we all want to look better, but we want to be healthier, and that's what they're teaching you how to do, and that's what you will do with Vitality, wellness, and weight loss. So give them a call. They have one location in southern Indiana, one right off Bardstown Road here in Louisville, and don't forget the name. It is Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss, and they will take care of you, too, with a personalized program that will work and will change the way you see how you can live your life. It's an empowering program. It's terrific, and you will, I think, find it. We have a number of people. Some people have texted me. Some people I've just run into on the street, and they've said, hey, I've lost 30, 35 pounds of it. It's great. So I want to hear from more people like that because it works, and it will make you a whole lot healthier. So check them out at Vitality. It's a great program. Let's see. I love that 50s radio voice from old games announcers had. Yeah, well, there was something to that. There was a thought at the in the early days, they picked guys who had the radio voice, and they tried to turn them into sportscasters. I mean, keep in mind, this was a whole new industry. You know, as it's turned, no disrespect, Michael Kay does a very nice job, but it changed. They got guys that just knew the game or brought an interesting point of view to the game, and Michael Kay has a very pronounced New York accent, not a great radio voice, but he does a good job. He's a good listen. You know, John Sterling, it sounds like he smokes a pack of Camel every day. I don't even know if he smokes, but he's got that raspy voice. And, you know, it's just, it's not about that anymore. But the terminologies I find interesting. There's a whole bunch of terms they use. I mean, they used to use this all the time. You never hear it anymore. When two guys were warming up in the bullpen, it was double barrel action in the Atlanta bullpen. You know, I don't hear them say that very much anymore. And it's also so much more fun to listen to because the game goes so much faster. Oh, it's the way I wish they'd get back to playing baseball again. I mean, the games are 2.5 hours long. There's not 9 million. I hope baseball goes. I'll tell you, you know, as I listen to the games, in my head, I'm wondering, okay, suppose they had that new rule in now where a guy has to pitch to three batters. How much would that change things? So it's interesting. I hope baseball adopts that. We'll see. It is a big week, of course, here. The big game coming up on Saturday. We've been talking a lot about it. Louisville and Kentucky, you've got there really is no other way to break it down in terms of how these teams perform than basically stating what is a fact, which is if you look at the overall effectiveness of both teams by most of the metrics that people use, they're very, very close. The Sagarin ratings have them 2/100ths of a point, not 2/10ths of a point, 2/100ths of a point. I mean, that's basically a dead heat. If you go by home field advantage with the overall rating, Kentucky should be a 2-point favorite. If you go by recency, which means how they've played in more recent games, it's actually a total complete toss-up. They are ranked, I don't remember what the numbers were, I took it down off my screen, but one of them is like 47th in the country, one is 48th. Louisville's one spot ahead of Kentucky, whatever it is, 45th, 46th, 43rd, 44th, I don't know, but they are that close. There's no question they're very close. They both have played one top 10 team, they both lost. They both have played two top 30 teams, they both lost those games. Louisville's got 7 wins, Kentucky's got 6 wins. It is everything that you would like to see in a rivalry game in terms of the competitiveness of the two teams, and yet two teams that come in with some success. Kentucky comes off a history-making season and will go back to a bowl game. Louisville enjoying, this is just one man's opinion, as entertaining a season as I've had since I moved to town here 20-some years ago. That's how much I've enjoyed watching this team and Scott Satterfield do his thing because he has absolutely changed the entire culture. So I hope we don't get crappy weather. The forecast is we will, which is makes me sad for fans even and the players. You want the players to be able to go play their best. You don't want them to be compromised by the elements. But that is, in fairness, a football thing, dealing with the elements. And so it's not even so much for the players as much as the fans to have to sit through. And it's miserable. I don't care what anybody says. I've done that enough times and not really interested in doing it again. So I hope they get better weather for a game like this. And we'll see how that plays out. And then the thing is, that I heard them talking earlier. And again, whenever I talk, when I give you what I think is, I'm hopeful that I'm looking at data and I'm saying, okay, this is what I see in the data, that I try and be very level-headed about that for whoever I'm talking about, Louisville or the other guys or Kentucky or Louisville's opponent, Kentucky's opponent, whatever. Then when I try and tell you about opinion, I try and, you know, preface it that way. I understand if you're a fan, you're probably hoping that they go to the Music City Bowl, because you want to be able to go see them play. And I get that, and I'm not here to persuade you otherwise. I just, maybe it's not really right, but I mean, because you get money for going to bowl games. And my guess is certainly if I were Vince Tyre or any of the people trying to pay the bills at Louisville or Mitch Barnhart, I wouldn't want to go to the best bowl that's going to give me the most money. I understand that. And if you were looking at it in a big picture, I don't know how much difference there is in TV ratings between certain bowls, but coaches will tell you that your exposure is a big deal in terms of recruiting, getting so people watch your program. I really do think one of the smart things that Louisville did, I give credit to Tom Jurich for this, was when he got here, they said basically, if you're going to put us on national TV, we'll play any night. What do you want us to play? Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday? We'll play Friday morning? I don't care. And they got on, and they were on TV, and they were on national TV, and people will watch because they want to see football, and maybe some people will bet, and it gives them an emotional involvement in the game. And so I think, you know, if the bowl game gives you more exposure, then I can understand why you would want that bowl game instead. So I get it. I understand the proximity for fans. I understand the money from the business point of view. I understand if the coach gets more exposure for a certain bowl. But if not, then for me, really, there's no difference. Unless you're going to a New Year's Day bowl or you're in the playoffs, they don't make a difference to me. I mean, I really, it doesn't make a difference. It's a football game, and I think I take it seriously. It should be taken, but I don't really care about the level of it. So I would like to see them go to some exotic places. Like, I'm sorry the Bahamas Bowl is so far down the list, because I think that'd be the coolest thing to do. I'd love to go, because I'm a New Yorker, the Pinstripe Bowl. I'd love to go to Yankee Stadium and watch a football game. I've never seen a football game at Yankee Stadium. I think that would be very cool. It might be very cold, too. I wouldn't like that part of it. But they're supposed to go to Annapolis, according to one of the prognosticators, I think Mark Schlabaugh, and play in the Military Bowl. If you've not been to Annapolis, it's a very cool place. I lived about 40 minutes from there in Maryland when I was coaching in the greater D.C. area. It's a very cool place to go. I've been to Nashville gajillion times, and it's just not a very sexy bowl to me. The Belk Bowl, my God, we've had enough stuff there. And I'll tell you one other thing. One of the projected matchups is against Mississippi State again. I'm sick of those people. Do we have to play them again? Had enough of Mississippi State. It's like joined at the hip with Mississippi State. Enough of them already. That is not analytical, because of the way I look at it is, hey, the big thing coaches always say is we get the extra practices. Well, you're going to get extra practices if you're in the Weed Whacker Bowl, if you're in the Rose Bowl. So there's no difference there. And I don't know, you know, I'm not trying to be crass, but I don't care about the money. I'm not getting it. So I just like to go someplace different. I'd like to see a little, you know, I know this will make people nuts, but if you've never been to the El Paso, it's a quirky, goofy little city. I mean, Texas is so freaking big. I had no idea how far El Paso was from, like, the other cities in Texas, like Houston and Dallas. It's like a day drive. It's a weird border town. It's not, but I did a game there. I did UTEP there, and it's fun. I know. I like going different places. So, you know, that'd be fine. I think that texter must be the UK looking for trouble. See, the Citrus Bowl doesn't hold more dignity than with the Liberty Bowl. Of course it does. What are you talking about? I just got through saying. The bigger bowls, yes, there's more of an impact. The Citrus Bowl is considered one of the major bowls. Relax, Junior. I'm not knocking Kentucky. There's nothing vested. There's nothing hidden in the meaning here. I'm just telling you, as a fan, I don't really care that much. Unless it's a New Year's Day bowl or if it's one of the playoff games. So, I mean, so yeah, but I'm sure that you make more money for that. Of course, it's going to the Citrus Bowl is much higher than going to the Weed Whacker Bowl. But I'm talking about, you know, the Music City Bowl, the Liberty Bowl, the Belk Bowl. Yeah, I guess, you know, as proximity as a fan, you can get to those better. And that's, but I don't really, and I imagine they're regarded as higher than maybe the Military Bowl or the Pinstripe Bowl. But to me, like I said, I'm not worried about that part of it. I'd like to go somewhere different. What bowl are the Electrons projected to go to? No, we're not going to touch the money yet. We're not there yet. We've only got 5 wins. We need one more win. We might get it tonight if Lamar can come through. We need 20 points, and we'll get to win number 6. And then we'll have to start weighing it up. We'll probably ask some input from the listeners what bowl we should go to. Because we are, after all, America's fantasy team, so we'll have to see what the possibilities are out there. So there you go. FYI, by the way, Bob Edwards of NPR fame, native to Louisville, I knew that, attended U of L. For many years, he had interviews with Red Barber on just about every Friday. That would be fun. If you can find them, they would be entertaining for me. He said they might be. They certainly would be. I'd love to hear that. That would be interesting. This texter says, did your package arrive? Somebody mailed a package to us, and I don't think we have it. Is there a package out there for me? Would you buy me something? No?
Negative.
Thought I'd take a shot. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks to Patty Ice for getting behind the board there for us. Unless you know something I don't, we'll try it again tomorrow. Andy's back in town. He's got the take coming up next. Thanks for all your texts. We will visit with you tomorrow here on ESPN 680 105.7. See you then.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a 4-seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.